Gracious Father, we thank You so much for tonight, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Father, as we open Thy Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit that led Daniel to write the book of Daniel, the Holy Spirit that led John to write the book of Revelation, we pray that Holy Spirit will open our eyes and hearts and minds tonight. Bless us, Lord, because we ask it and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Preparation for Mr. 666. Does it really matter what a person believes? Does it really matter how a person lives day by day? Does a person really need to study the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation for the last days? Many claim that it doesn't matter how or what one believes if his life is right. But don't miss this point. The life is molded by the faith. We must know what is truth. Amen. Take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 17, and notice what Jesus says about truth. The book of John, chapter 17, and look with me here at verse 17. What is truth? John 17 and verse 17. Listen to the words. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. When you want to find truth, when you want to know what is right, then we've got to go to the right source. Amen? And that's why the Bible says that God's Word is truth. And that's what we're going to study tonight. We're going to study God's Word to find truth. Now, I want you to see how important this subject is about the Antichrist. Because the Bible gives verses after verse about this subject. Daniel is full of information about the Antichrist. Revelation is just full of information about the Antichrist. But notice how important it is. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1 and look here at verse 3. The book of Revelation chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Listen to it. He says, "Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now notice the blessing. The blessing comes to the person who reads and hears and follows the Word of God. I want to be blessed, amen? So that's why we're studying this subject. That's why we need to find out what the Antichrist is all about and prepare for that event. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, last chapter, and look here at verse 18 and 19. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." God says if you add or if you take away, you shall receive the curses that are found written in the book of God. So my friends, we have no right to change it. We have no right to add to it, but we must be willing to follow it. Amen. What does the Bible say on this subject? Let's go to another verse. Look at Revelation chapter 15. And this shows how important this subject is. Revelation 15, and look at verse 1 and 2. Chapter 15, 1 and 2. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Now don't miss what it says here. It says, those that reject the Antichrist, his mark, his name, and his number, they're standing on the sea of glass. They've made it to heaven. Now what that means is, we've got to know what the Antichrist's name, mark, and number is in order to reject it. Amen? Look at Revelation 20, verse 4. It says almost the same thing. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Those that make it have rejected his name, his mark, his number, and the image and the whole thing that goes with it. Look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8. Again, it shows how many people are involved in this great issue with the Antichrist. Revelation 13, 8 says this, and what's the next word? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Has something to do with worship. We'll talk about that more tomorrow morning. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And all that dwell upon the earth. So the whole world is involved in this thing. Same chapter. Look at verse 16. He causeth all. Here it is again. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. A lot of people are involved. What does it involve? It involves one of two things. We either worship God, or we worship man. There's no in-between. We're either on God's side, we receive his mark, or we're on man's side, and we receive his mark. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I want to receive the mark of God. Amen. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I want to be prepared for what is coming. But here's the sad part. The vast majority will follow the Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 14, 9 and 10 makes it very clear. Revelation 13, 16 and 17 makes it very clear that the majority will follow the Antichrist. But you know what's sad is that's the way it's always been. You think about it. You go back to the time of Noah's flood. It was the vast majority that rejected Noah's message. You look at what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. The vast majority stayed in the city and was destroyed along with the city. So it's always been that way. The majority have rejected the truths of God's Word. But in the final end, when it's all said and done, it's the majority that are with God. Amen? And we'll talk more about that a little later. Revelation 13:8, I repeat myself, it says, all the world will worship the Antichrist, but there will be a group that will have their names in the book of life. Now, let me share with you some of the things I see happening in the world today. And it's an attempt to get people to follow this Antichrist power. It's a destroying of God's Word. It's a type of deception that's sweeping the world. And there's five things I put in the little booklet, a little paper I'm going to give you, or six things, I should say, that the Antichrist will use to deceive man in the last days. Number one is this. They will destroy or try to destroy faith in this book. Let me explain. Have you ever heard anybody say this book contradicts itself? You ever heard that? That's an attempt to destroy faith in the Word of God. Because if I find a contradiction, then that means there may be more contradictions. And so what part do I believe in? So I'm a type of person who believes that this is the Word of God. From the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, we can believe every word of it. If it says it, then God means what He says. Amen? If I do find something that sounds like a contradiction, then I must decide myself that it's not a contradiction, but at the same time, someplace in this book, God will explain Himself so it'll make sense. And He always does that. You see, so often we try to bring the Bible down to our level and try instead of reaching up to the level of the Bible. So, they're going to try to destroy faith in this book. They say this part's not inspired, or that part's not inspired, or you cannot believe that Bible. Number two, they will infiltrate colleges and schools of learning with false doctrines, false teachings. That's already happening. You look at the educational system today and what it teaches. And I know there's a lot of good, but there's a lot of bad also. Many of them say that there's no God. Many of them say that you cannot believe a book, the Bible. And so in the educational system today, it seems like they're trying to destroy what God's Word actually teaches. So infiltrate colleges and schools of learning with false doctrines. Number three, they're going to cause people to doubt those preaching the Word of God. Boy, that's been happening. People who are sharing the Bible, trying to tell them that it's not true. Stay away from that type of thing. Have you ever heard this? Don't get too deep into the Bible. You ever heard that? You know, it's amazing how they oftentimes blame God when people lose their minds. They say, well, they got too much into religion. You ever heard that? You know? Boy, if you want to be set free, then you need to get into Christ. Amen. And then we will be free. Another thing, number four, infiltrate publishing houses. Changing the publishing work, changing the books that are being printed. By the way, you know, you can go down to some of these Christian bookstores today and ask for certain books, and you won't be able to receive them because they're not able to sell them anymore because there was something in there that was a conflict with somebody's faith or something. Oh, that's happening. Number five. Try to get out of bookstores God's truth for these last days. And number six, this is a big one. They're going to tell us that the Ten Commandments are not important. They're going to tell you they need to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses and out of the schools. And then they wonder why teenagers take guns to school and kill their friends. Isn't it something? Take the Ten Commandments out. Or they may even go a little bit farther than that and say, hey, the Ten Commandments are not important. Now, here's what I want you to do with me. I want you to go with me as I take you through Revelation and share with you the different names in Revelation that talks about the Antichrist. We're going to look at different names found. So the first one's in Revelation. Go with me to Revelation 13. And I want you to see something here. Revelation 13. And we're going to look at some verses that explains the names used in the Bible for the Antichrist. Revelation 13 and verse 18. And I want you to put these together because this will help us in understanding tomorrow's message. Revelation 13, 18. This is what it says. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the what? Notice the wording here God uses. It's the number of a beast. Then he says this. For it is the number of a man. Isn't that interesting? First of all, he calls him the beast, and then he calls him a man, which means that somebody is going to be at the head of this whole thing who is a man. Look at verse 1, same chapter, Revelation 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Here it's using the word beast again. Having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. He uses the word beast, but he also uses the wording horns, because it's a little horn that arises in the midst of the 10 and destroys 3. Look at verse 4, Revelation 13, verse 4. And they worship the dragon. Now, who's the dragon in the Bible? That's right, Satan. Verse 9 says that of chapter 12. Revelation 12, 9 says it's the devil. Okay, let's read it again. Revelation 13, 4. And they worship the dragon or the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Here he's called the beast, and here it says, when we worship him, we're actually worshiping who? The devil. Friends, this is serious material. We're talking about something that is so very, very important. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, what's the next word? Babylon is fallen. Look at that. He says, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath for fornication. Here she is called Babylon. Now, what does the word Babylon mean? Oh, that's right. Confusion comes from the word Babel. Remember, they tried to build the city up into heaven. They tried to make themselves a god. And it says that was Babel. Babylon comes from the word Babel. It means confusion. So God is saying, hey, this whole system is confusion. Chapter 15, look at verse 2. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, calls him the beast again, his image, his mark, the number of his name. There's so many names and things used in Revelation and Daniel about this power. Look at chapter 16. Revelation 16, verse 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Hey, he's using different wordings here. And then he says this, For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The Bible says three unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, these are all different, but they all come together to join hands in the last days. Chapter 17, look at verse 1. Revelation 17, 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. In this verse, she's called, or this power is called, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Chapter 17, verse 5. Look what God says. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, who? Babylon, the great, the mother. Look, he says she's the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Look at 18, chapter 18 of Revelation, verse 2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, here it is again, the word Babylon, the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Same chapter, look at verse 7, Revelation 18, verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Here the Bible calls her a she, and it says she is called the queen of heaven. Chapter 7 of Daniel. Go back to the book of Daniel and notice how Daniel, you see, you cannot separate Revelation from the book of Daniel. The two books go together. Daniel chapter 7. And look here at verse 8. Daniel 7, verse 8. I considered the horns. Now remember, in Daniel chapter 7, you've got four beasts. You've got a lion, a bear, a four-headed leopard, and then a nondescriptive beast with 10 horns. Remember that? You've got Babylon represented, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and the 10 horns, the divided nations of Europe, the 10 kingdoms there in Western Europe. But the Antichrist is called a little horn here that comes up in the midst of the ten. It's called a little horn. Look at verse 21, Daniel 7, verse 21. In Daniel 7, 21, it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Here the Bible says that this little horn is going to make war with the saints. Now, many of us have been taught that a saint is somebody that lived an extraordinary life, then they died, and then they were made a saint because somebody prayed to that person, and all of a sudden there was a miracle or something, and so they made that a saint. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a saint is somebody who is living on planet Earth. Let me read the text to you. Revelation 14, verse 12. It says, Revelation 14, 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. A saint is somebody who is alive and well, and they're living for Jesus. Amen? But the Bible says he's going to make war with them. He's going to persecute those people. Look at Daniel 8. Daniel 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Here the Bible says it's going to be a king, a type of a king that's going to stand up and understand many languages. By the way, we're going to read this more tomorrow, but it's interesting what you find in chapter 8, because in chapter 8 it says he's going to come to his end and he will be broken without hand. Now let me just refresh your memory of what we've already studied. Remember Daniel 2? You got that great image, head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay. And then it says there was a rock cut out of the mountain. What's the rest of the verse? Without hand. Ah, that's the second coming of Jesus. So the Antichrist will be here before he comes back for his church. And he takes care of that. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Look at Daniel. Still in Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 and look at verse 31. Daniel 11, verse 31. The Bible says, an arm shall stand on his part. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Here he's called the abomination that maketh desolate. Now in the book of Matthew, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 24, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. In Mark, Mark says it this way. He says, when you see the abomination of Daniel, abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand and beware. And it says, and get ready to do some fleeing. Now we'll talk more about that later. What was he talking about? The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. We have found in Daniel and Revelation many, many names for the Antichrist. Now, friends, I'm a believer that God has given a lot of information in this book about this subject. If he only gave one verse, it would be enough for us to study it. Amen? But not only did he give one verse, but God gave information throughout the book of Daniel, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Daniel 11, Daniel 12, Revelation, all through Revelation 13, 14, 15, 16, Revelation 17 and 18. All through the Bible, he speaks about this subject. So friends, I'm a believer that it's important, amen? That the Bible is important. This book, you know, I tell people one of the things, if I don't get anything else across in my meetings, the one thing I want to encourage you to do is to get into this book and spend time in it. Because when we get into this book and spend time in it, we're going to be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. And that's what I want. I want to be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it's found. Now, here's what I did some time ago. I did a study. I went into the book of Genesis. And I wanted to find out, just in that one book, the first book of the Bible, how much truth and doctrine I could find in Genesis. And I was amazed that what I found just in the book of Genesis was basically all the doctrines that are found throughout the whole Bible. Then I thought, hey, wait a minute. If I can find that in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, I wonder what I could find in Revelation, the last book of the Bible. So I went into Revelation, and to my amazement, I found all the teachings of the whole Bible in one book. Now, that doesn't do away with all the books between Genesis and Revelation. It just means that God has given enough information in this book that we can be prepared for what is coming. Now, why is it? Here's a question. Why is it that people don't want to study the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation? Because I'm going to be honest with you. I've had people to tell me, oh, we don't study that book. It's just too hard to understand. You ever heard that? Or we don't study that book because it's not for us. I've heard that before. Here's my belief. The reason people do not like to study Daniel and Revelation is because when you study Daniel and Revelation, something's going to happen in your life. And what I mean by that is this. When you search the scriptures in Daniel and Revelation, a reformation is going to take place. A revival is going to take place because you realize how close we are. And I'm a believer that every Christian, no matter what denomination, that doesn't matter, no matter what belief you have, but I'm a believer that if we'll study Daniel and Revelation, that it should be first place in our minds today. Why? Because so much is happening right now. We need to be in this book. Now, let's get to the heart of the message. How do we prepare for the Antichrist? Take your Bibles. John chapter 12. Let's look at some verses. John chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 12. And look here at verse 35. John 12 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Wait a minute. The light is with you. Now, what is the light according to the Bible? Jesus is called the light of the world. But do you know there's something else that's called the light also? In Psalm 119, Jesus, or the Bible, says that God's Word is a light and a lamp. Jesus is the Word. Amen. He is the Word of God. So, when you read here, when Jesus said, for a little while is the light with you, what that means is when we receive truth from this book, it's with us for a short time, and we have an option, either to follow it or reject it. But look what else he says in that same verse, verse 35. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What does that mean? God gives us truth. We have a choice. Reject it, accept it. If I reject it, if I push it aside, then I am walking in darkness, the Bible says. And it says, I don't even know where I am going. I may think mentally that I'm okay, when in reality, I'm not. So how do we prepare for what's coming? When I receive truth from this book, I must be determined to follow it, even though I don't understand it completely. I must be willing to follow it, no matter what it costs. Because here's what God does. When He gives us truth from this book, and if we'll follow it, then He'll make it clear to us. Remember the children of Israel when they came up to the Red Sea? Remember the story? They were being chased by the Egyptians. You know, they had to do something. The Egyptians were behind them, and the sea was in front of them. What in the world do you do? There's no way out. They had to start walking, right? I mean, they had to start walking into the sea, and when they did, what happened? God opened the sea up, amen? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they're thrown in a fiery furnace. They could have easily bowed down to that image, but they didn't. They stood up tall. They didn't know that Jesus was going to be right there with them. But they took the consequences. They were willing to go the extra mile for God. And when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, praise the Lord, Jesus is right there with them. Brings them out, smelling like roses. God is good. God is good. Look at another verse. 1 John chapter 1. This time it's 1 John, not St. John, but right before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1. And look here at verse 6 and 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Friends, that's strong language. He's saying here, if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus, but we're walking in darkness, we're lying. Look at the next verse, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now let me ask you a question. He says, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. What if I don't walk in the light of God's Word? Will the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me of all sin? No. It's just the opposite, you see. Look at another verse. Acts 3, verse 19. Right after the book of John, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The Bible says this, Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What kind of preparation must I do? It says here, I must repent of my sins and be converted. Now, remember the story of Jesus knocking on the door? Revelation 3:20, what does it say? He's knocking on the door. He says, if we'll open up the heart's door, He'll come in, sup with us, and so forth. Now, He's knocking on the door, but He's not going to force His way into our hearts. I must be willing to let Him in, you see. That's my part. That's your part. allowing Him to come in. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 17. You talk about an angry devil. The devil is angry. He's so angry. Listen to what it says. Revelation 12, verse 17. The dragon, the devil, was wroth with the woman. The woman? Jeremiah 6, 2. The Bible says that God uses a woman as a symbol for the church, for His people. So what it says here is this. The devil was angry with the church, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The devil is so angry, he's making war with God's people. How does he make war? Well, he brings trials, he brings tribulations, he brings all kind of problems in your life. But isn't it wonderful? You know, there's the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is this. The Christian has someone to take them through the problems and the trials and the tribulations. Friends, I'm not one of these preachers that's going to tell you that if you give your life to Christ, everything's going to be perfect. Because I want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of Christians have a lot of problems. But I am a believer that my God will walk right by your side through those things. And you have someone to look to, someone to trust in, and someone to give you that help in the time of need. So that's the difference in the Christian and the non-Christian. The rain falls on the Christian and the non-Christian as well. Did you know that? You know, it's amazing. But God is with us and walks by our side. But here the devil's angry. He's going to make war. So I'm telling you this. When you follow the Lord and you do what the Bible says, the devil's going to be angry, friend. That's just the Bible teaching in the Word of God. But wait a minute. The devil's powerful, but God is all-powerful. You know, there's a verse in Luke in chapter 10 that says this. It says that the disciples went around and they were casting out demons and they were doing all these great things and they came back and they said, Lord, even the devil is subject unto us through thy name. You know what Jesus said to them? He said, rather rejoice that your names are in the book of life instead of boasting about the devil's being subject to you. Let's go to another verse. Look what else the Bible says. Look here in the book of Revelation 14. We read this one a few minutes ago. Revelation 14, 12. He says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of who? Jesus. Don't miss that. Friends, let me say this about the commandments. You're going to hear as we study on in our meetings this next week, the commandments are important. I'm a believer in the Ten Commandments. I believe that God wrote them with His own finger. But there's no way a person can keep those commandments unless they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Got to make that clear. You've got to have that walk with Jesus in order to follow Jesus. Amen? Because He says, I'm going to write my law in your hearts and minds. I'll give you the power to follow me. But now, wait a minute. How do we get ready? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. James, Hebrews, James, and then 1st and then 2 Peter. Listen to what God says. 2 Peter chapter 3 and look at verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Now, a lot of people don't like this verse, but listen to it anyway. It's important. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. God says here that if you're not careful, that if I'm not careful, we can be led away with the error of the wicked and we can fall from our own steadfastness. Now, I'm one of those who believes that you will not fall as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen? As long as Jesus is Savior, but not only Savior, but also Lord, we're not going to fall. So what are we going to do? Next verse. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He says, I want you to grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? How do you grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not spending time at the tavern. It's not spending all your time at the movie theater or any sports event. It's spending time with Jesus Christ. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of God means that we're going to spend time on our knees. We're going to spend time in this book. Now, I'm also a believer that a Christian, a person who claims to be a Christian, should be more of a Christian today than he was a year ago. All right? We should be growing closer to Jesus Christ, not apart from Him. We need to be growing day by day. I told a little story this morning I want to share with you. It's a story about the drunkard. You know, being brought up in the back of a tavern, my parents were bootleggers. I saw a lot of drunkenness. I mean, saw it all the time. But I remember the story of a man who had been out partying. This guy went and partied all the time. But this particular party, he had to get in a boat, and he had to take his rowboat over across the lake to get to the party. And so here he is, he's partying, he gets pretty high, and it's time for him to leave. So he goes back out, gets in his rowboat, and he begins to row, and row all night. The next morning, sun comes up, he's kind of sobering up, he looks around, he's in the same place. He forgot to untie the rope. Now, friends, don't miss the point. Christians need to be growing, or we're going to stay in the same place. How do we grow? We spend time in this book with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're spending time in this book, if we're spending time with Jesus, then we will be prepared for what's coming. Now, friends, there are some tremendous things on the horizon. There are some tremendous things about to happen on planet Earth. Look at 2 John. It's over before the book of Revelation. You're right here at Peter, 1 John and then 2 John. Has one chapter, 2 John. Look at verse 7. Now, the reason I want to share this with you is because maybe you've heard this. If you just go to the altar, give your life to Jesus, that's all you got to do. It doesn't matter how you live. You don't need teachings. You don't need doctrines. You just need to love Jesus. You ever heard that? Now, friends, don't get me wrong. We do need Jesus. We got to come to Jesus. That's the first and that's the most important thing. But we also need to know what His teachings are. Listen to it. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And here it is, verse 9. Whosoever. How many people does that include? That's everybody. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Jesus has doctrines. What are His doctrines? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, John, what do you believe in? I said, I believe in the Bible. But what are your teachings? I believe from Genesis through Revelation. But what are those teachings? I said, I believe in the Bible. Amen? If it says it, then I believe it. This is the Word of God. And I cannot stress that enough, cannot put enough emphasis on it, that this is the book. Look at Jude. You're right by the book of Jude, right before Revelation. It has only one chapter. Look at verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. You mean the Lord can keep me from falling? Yes, He can. And then He adds these words. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Jesus can do it. Now, how am I going to make it? How am I going to prepare? How am I going to overcome? Chapter 12 of Revelation. I believe one of the most important verses in all the Bible. Listen to it. Revelation 12. Verse 11. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of who? Of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. But listen to what else it says. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, what does that mean? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, we studied yesterday, last night. What did they do? They loved not their lives unto the death. They would rather die than sin against God. Now, friends, that's what you call being a Christian 7 days a week, not just one day out of the week. Amen? That means we've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, that personal relationship. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How are we going to make it? How are we going to overcome? We're going to do it through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Let me take you to the screen. I want to share with you some slides tonight to help us understand this subject. And also in preparation for what we're going to cover tomorrow, in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. In his dream, he sees this great big image, head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet part of iron and part of clay, and a rock cut out of the mountains without hands. Now, you've got to understand Daniel 2 in order to understand tomorrow. What did the head of gold represent in Daniel 2? Okay, help me out now. Babylon. Chest of silver. Medo-Persia. Thigh of brass. Greece. Legs of iron. 10 toes. Rome divided. All right. You got Babylon. You got Medo-Persia. You've got Greece. You've got Rome. And you've got Rome divided. Now, why is Daniel 2 so important? Because we're told in the Bible that we are living right here in the feet of Daniel chapter 2, right before Jesus comes back. Then the Lord says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, and let no man deceive you by any means for that day. Verse 1 and 2 is talking about the coming of Jesus. And that's what that means. For that day shall not come the coming of Jesus, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be, what's the word? Revealed, the son of perdition. The Bible says he's going to be revealed. And that's what we're doing in these meetings. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. Not something I came up with, but it's something that the Bible teaches. And then he says this, the guy will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is actually going to claim the place of God and sit in the temple of God. We're going to talk about that one night. Matthew says the abomination of desolation. That's in one of our meetings. We're going to cover that in one of the meetings. In Daniel chapter 7, God gives us more information. You've got these beasts arising up out of the sea. First one was a lion, representing the same as the head of gold, Babylon. You've got that bear with the three ribs in its mouth, the same as the chest of silver in Daniel 2, the Medes and the Persians. It just gives you a little more information. You've got that four-headed leopard, the Grecian Empire, led by Alexander the Great, the same as the thigh of brass. Then you've got that nondescriptive beast, that terrible-looking beast with 10 horns, representing the same as the legs of iron, and the 10 horns, the 2 feet with 10 toes, Rome divided. Then you've got another little horn. That's what we're going to identify tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. He arises in the midst of the 10, destroys 3, and becomes the man with the number 666. Daniel 7 says this about him. He shall speak great words against the Most High. What does that mean? Revelation 13 says he will speak blasphemy. What is blasphemy? John 10:33, Luke 5:21 says that blasphemy is when man claims the place of God. That is blasphemy. He's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Daniel 7 says he's going to persecute. We read that a few minutes ago. Then look at what else it says. And he will think to change times and what? Laws. The Bible says he will attempt to change the law of God. Now, let me ask you something. Can you change the Word of God? No way. Man would attempt to. He would try to. He would think to. But he will not do it. You cannot change it. But the sad thing is that millions upon millions will follow him and accept his word above the word of God. Now, don't miss this point. If I take man's word above the word of God, what have I done? What has that man done who has done that? That means he set himself up in place of God, right? And that's exactly what's happening. And then it adds these words. They shall be given into his hand unto a time, times, and the dividing of time. Time 1 year, times 2 years, dividing of time half a year. That's 3 1/2 years. But that's prophetic. Ezekiel 4:6, Numbers 14:34 says, when you're dealing with prophecy, one day equals a year. We'll look at that in detail tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. Here are the identifying points found in Daniel. He arises out of the fourth beast. He comes up among the ten horns. He comes up after the ten horns. He's different from the other kingdoms. He has a look more stout than his fellows. Has eyes with eyes like the eyes of a man, it says. He uproots three kingdoms. He speaks great words against the Most High. He wears out the saints of the Most High. And he attempts to change times and laws and reigns for a certain amount of time. And here's what's amazing. You can find certain individuals living today that will fit one, maybe two, maybe even three of these identifying points. But that's not enough. The individual must fit all the points in order for him or her, whatever, to be the Antichrist. Amen? And that's what we're going to look at tomorrow in detail. He's attempted to change the Word of God. The devil is the one that's behind all of this. He hates the Word of God. He hates the law of God. That's why it says when we worship the beast, we're worshiping the devil himself. Revelation 13 says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a machine. It is the number of a card. No. God says it's the number of a man. And his number is 666, which is 666. It's amazing. Some people have actually tried to change the number. Did you know that? I read it in a book some time ago. They said that that was a misprint. It's supposed to be 616. I tell you, people try all kind of things, changing the Word of God, but you cannot change the Word of God. It is 666, and the number 666 falls one short of completeness because God's complete and perfect number is the number 7 in the Bible. So that's why God gives him the number 666. A woman, Revelation 17, riding upon a scarlet-colored beast. She's involved with the Antichrist. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Revelation 13:8, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The whole world is involved in this thing. Whether we're Christians or not, we're still involved in what's going to happen. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. If I follow man, I become his servant. If I follow God, I become his servant. When Jesus comes back, and friends, I believe it's going to be very, very soon. No man knows the day nor the hour, but we know when it is near. And I believe that it is very, very near. But we've got a choice we've got to make. Before Jesus comes back, we have to decide either we're going to accept what Jesus did on Calvary's tree and accept him as Lord and Savior, not a dead Savior, but a living Savior who's coming back soon. Or we will accept the beast and follow the beast's power. There is no in between. Joshua 24:15. We know this one by heart, don't we? We've seen it every night. But as for me and my house, we will serve who? We will serve the Lord. Tomorrow we find out who he is. Tomorrow we go into detail to find out what it's all about. And then we're going to go into the studies after that and find out how man is following the Antichrist instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many here want to be ready when Jesus comes? I do. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your holy word. We thank You that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We thank You, Lord, for the prophecies of the Bible so that we can know what is truth, so that we can be prepared for what's coming on this earth. Lord, I pray that You'll let these messages sink deep into our hearts and our minds, and that our walk, that our relationship with Jesus Christ will be a growing one. Lord, help us to grow in the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. Save us now, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins, because we ask it and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.